I want to tell you a story that will kind of introduce this subject of grace and truth in our own lives and in Christian writing. About a year ago, Nancy and I went out with some friends to see a movie. There's three people here from my church and several others who know this couple, so I'll say who it was for your benefit, but Steve and Sue Keels. Steve's a youth pastor at my church and close friend of ours. And so we went out with Steve and Sue to see a movie, and we left after 10 o'clock in the evening. And as we drove out, Nancy noticed, my wife Nancy, noticed a man who was leaning on a walker. And it was windy and rainy, as it sometimes is in Oregon. And so we thought, well, okay, Nancy pulls over, and Nancy was driving. I got out, I went over, and helped him to his car. So I got him to his car, helped him in, but I thought, I don't know. I said, could I drive you home, and then my wife could just follow in our car, because I think maybe, you know, you could use some help getting home. And he understandably was hesitant since he didn't know me. And so he says, well, no, that's okay. I'll be all right. So we said, okay, but we're going to follow you home just to make sure. And then plus I'll help you in your house, or wherever you live. But, you know, when you get home. Okay. So we start following him through the parking lot, and suddenly he is swerving all over the place, and go, oh man, I made a big mistake. So we're praying, Lord, don't let him get out on the street because he's going to cause an accident. So in answer to our prayer, he got trapped in the drive-through of a Jack in the Box. So I came over, you know, I got in the car, I said, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and drive you. So he moves over, we go through the drive-through, I say, no thanks, no fries, in fact, nothing. And I should have given the guy a book, now that I think about it. But anyway, so... Well, that would be a great ministry, go through all the drive-thrus. And, no, I don't want anything, but here's a book. Anyway, so then we're pulling out. We're about to pull out of the parking lot, and something happened that has never happened to me in my life. Nancy's following in our car, and I'm driving the car of this man, and two guys in about their mid-20s literally jump in front of the car, put their hands down on the hood, and one of them has a cell phone, which he's waving like this, and I'm going, okay. And so I kind of get the window down, and I say, what's going on? And the guy says, my wife just called, she's home, she's having a baby, and the car's at home, we walked. Would you drive me to my house so I can give a... So I looked at him, and I said, well, sure, but the thing is, this isn't my car, and I don't know this man. Now, does that sound lame? As soon as I said it, I thought, that sounds so utterly ridiculous. And I said, but, okay, here's what we'll do. And there's no way I was going to let them go in the car with Nancy. So I went over to Nancy, and I said, this guy, the older gentleman, is safe. Okay, so how about you drive his car, then I'll drive these guys, and then you follow me driving his car. And she says, where are we going? And I said, I don't know. We don't know where the guy lives. We don't know where these guys live. Okay, so now we take off, and Nancy's following me. And there's part of the story I won't go into about how I got the window down, but it's, you know how you get in a car and sometimes you don't know how to get the windows up if it's a, you know, and remember how I told you it was that rainy, windy night? So Nancy was soaked by the time we got to several miles away where the guys were soaked. As those guys are getting out of the car, and I say, take care of your wife, driver, I says, here's a couple books for you. I grabbed a couple of novels. Okay, my novels. I always pray, Lord, help me to give them the right book to the right person, just however it happens, but just, you know, connect. So we leave those guys, then we drive this guy. By now I've asked him his name, found out this is George. I drive George now in his car. Nancy's following us. Don't know where we're going, but he finally gets me to his house. We go. I take him in, inside. All right, we get up to his room, and by now I'm asking him some questions, kind of getting him, you know, settled in and all of that. And I find out that for 27 years, George had been a political science professor at San Francisco State University. Now, I don't know how much you know about San Francisco State University, but I am guessing the number of CBA type books in the campus bookstore would be somewhere in the neighborhood of zero. And I also could figure that as a political science, now, if you in a novel were going to come up with a character that was going to be over the top liberal, you would make him a professor, but not just any professor. You would make him a political science professor, but not just in any city in the country. You would put him in San Francisco. Your editor would not allow you to keep that in there. It's just too over the top, but that's exactly who he was. Political science teacher from San Francisco State University. So I thought, well, it's fair to say that he does not have the, maybe the greatest impression of Bible-believing Christians. Okay, so I start looking at the books on the shelf. Okay? And, you can tell a lot about a person by the books on the shelf. And so I start looking and I see Marx. Collected works of Karl Marx. Karl Marx was not one of the Marx brothers, in case. And so here's this, you know, political science teacher influenced by communism, because the only communists left in the world, you know, are American universities in Cuba and China. And that's about it. Okay? But anyway, and so I'm thinking, okay, where's this going to go? So I asked the Lord's leading, and I had already done this. I had taken a book as we left the car, one of my books, and I grabbed a little book called In Light of Eternity, Perspectives on Heaven, a little book on heaven. All right, and I had this conversation with George, and he asked me, why did you help me? Why did you do this? And it was like, well, just, you know, I mean, we're glad to do it. It was a privilege to do it. And I said, we're followers of Christ, and he said we're to love other people, and it really was not a big deal. Glad to do it. It's no problem. And so I gave him the book and just suggested that he read it. I thought, as I left that night, and again, I said it was no big deal. It's no big deal for me. By this time, it's midnight, and Nancy's out in the car, nicely waiting with a absolutely great attitude, and she'll have a lot more reward from this than I'm going to get, I'm sure. So anyway, which was great. So talk about being a support and a good sport about the whole thing. So anyway, we get home, and it's like midnight, and we're thinking there's no way that we're ever going to know, but Lord, thank you, and we prayed for the guys who got the books, and we prayed for George. Well, we thought maybe we'll find out in eternity the rest of the stories. It turns out we didn't have to wait that long. 3 months later, my assistant, Kathy Norquist, woke up in the middle of the night with a pain in her side, severe pain she'd never had before, she's never had since. She hadn't seen her doctor for close to a year. She gets to the office and she says, Randy says, I had a terrible night, couldn't sleep, I've got this terrible pain. I said, oh, go to the doctor, you know? So she goes to her doctor who she hasn't seen. And she decides, I didn't know it at the time, but she decides to take one of my books to give me. Well, she grabs, of all the books on the shelf, she grabs In Light of Eternity. She brings it in to give it to the doctor, and as soon as he sees the book, he says, that's strange. She says, what? She says, well, one of my patients was in here yesterday, and he had that book with him. He'd been reading it, and he said he wished that he could talk with the author. And she says, well, I work with him. I'm his assistant. So she got the number for George. It was a new number. He lived somewhere else. I couldn't have found him if I tried to track him down. There's no way I could have found him. He was in another place. And so the doctor gives her the number. She comes back, gives it to me. I call him. I said, George, is it true that you wanted to talk with me? And he says, yeah. He says, I really would. So I come over. I sit down with George. He asks questions about grace, he asked questions about forgiveness, and he asked this question, how can God forgive rotten people? I thought, isn't that a great question? See, the question that a lot of people are asking, and sometimes even we're asking, is how could God, a loving God, send people to hell for eternity? But you know, if you believe what the Bible says about our true moral condition, that's a no-brainer. That's where we should be going for eternity. The truly amazing thing that should knock our socks off is not that God would send some people to hell, it's that he would let any of us into heaven. That's the truly amazing thing. And George was getting it. And I was pretty amazed. So we went back and forth. We talked for 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, he prayed, he confessed his sins, he gave his life to Christ. It's a year later now. He goes to our church every week. I visit him regularly. I got several guys meeting with him, discipling. He's come to love C.S. Lewis. He is being right now, a guy's going through a Lee Strobel book with him and the whole thing. Now, I say all this because it leads us to this concept of grace and truth, because as it turns out, what George told us was that what really touched his life was two things. One, he couldn't believe what we had done that night, and it was a very small thing. It was just a very small thing. And yet, as followers of Christ, when we do the simple and obvious thing, it's radical to people who don't know the love of Jesus. And when they see it, and they see Jesus in us, even again with the small thing, somehow their life is touched. And it wasn't just that we had helped him, it's that we had helped these other guys. Now, what are the chances, humanly speaking, that the only time in my life that somebody jumps in front of a car that I'm driving and says, get me to my wife so I can take her, she's having a baby. What are the chances that that one time would be when I'm driving somebody else's car who I don't know? It's just, humanly speaking, zero chances. What are the chances of Kathy having that pain in the middle of the night, going to her doctor having seen George the day before? You know how busy doctors are, remembering that he's carrying the same book just because he recognizes it, that she's carrying that book and giving the number. This is all part of the plan of God. We serve a God of providence, and we serve a God who wants to touch lives through grace and truth, because the book contained the truth that he needed to know to share the gospel with him, to take him to God's book, to potentially and, in fact, actually transform his life. And I praise God for his providence and the way that he intervenes. And I think, how many people prayed for George Bradley, who had him as students, Christian students at San Francisco State University, taking a political science class? I'm praying for George Bradley. And you know what? Somewhere right now, there's somebody who's very discouraged, and they're saying, God, all those years, I've prayed, and you've just almost never answered prayers. I prayed for this, and you didn't answer. I prayed for this. I prayed for Dr. Bradley for a year, and he still didn't come to faith in you, and I didn't see any progress. And little do they know. And one day they'll find out. When? In heaven. In eternity. That Ray Bolt song, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Do you believe that? Do you believe we're going to meet people that have been touched through our lives, through our writing? Do you believe you'll have the opportunity to talk to people who may have been home with the Lord for centuries, but you've been touched deeply through their books? This is not fairy tale. This is reality. This is what the Bible teaches.